Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. We're back, and we're happy to be here. It's 7:06 in the morning. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we are streaming at KCNR1460.com. You can also write to Linda at Linda@KCNR1460.com. It's going to be a great day today. And speaking of great, here's Bad Bob. Did you miss us?
I did indeed, but Mark did an admirable job yesterday, and we had some very good conversation out there on the air. But glad to have you back.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, Mark Beecham is a great guy. You know what? I don't know if you've read Mark's blogs lately, but he is on a roll. You know, every so often you'll see blogs that you go, what is this guy or woman thinking of? But Mark's been doing, I mean, he's had like 12 or 13 or 15 or 16 in a row that are just kind of like you just want to read them. And speaking of great and wanting to enjoy it, and enjoy her,
that's
here's
kind of
Linda.
Interesting. Yeah. Good morning. Currently 67 degrees if you are just waking up here. The weather today is going to be, oh gosh, I lost my little page here. What does it say?
It's going to be in the 90s today, about 97.
Oh, it's beautiful when you walk out. You can kind of get a feel of what it's going to be like. So today the high is 98. So we're under three digits. Love that.
Yep.
Wanted to, Charles, you know, when I got into my email this morning, you had sent some wonderful emails yesterday regarding Mark's show and the conversations with the Greg Parrish list and on and on. And I just, you know, you are so articulate with your emails. I appreciate it so much. You know, your input, and when you call in, you pay attention and you show up, and that's great. Also want to give a shout-out to Salt Creek and Lakehead. We met some people there who had moved from, one couple moved and opened this wonderful restaurant from Hawaii, and another couple moved from Santa Cruz, and their passion, their where they've, you know, built their lives before. They packed up and they've been up here and they've moved, and very conscientious people, it seems, that really want to do a great job. So those...
Yeah, one moved so that they could get to better schools without having to pay for private schools. But I think she also said she thought the surfing was really good at Shasta Lake.
Allison's from the restaurant's Allison's. We had a great Belgian waffle there, and I wish I knew the name. It was like a little log cabin. It was off of, you know, the Lakehead area too.
Next to it, yeah.
Yeah, they were great. So I wanted to thank them as well. And the other thing that we have to bring up today, very important, on this day in 1909, Orville Wright, one of the famous Wright brothers, along with Wilbur, set a record for the longest airplane flight. Not that there were many records available. After all, it was the Wright brothers who worked so hard. But Orville was testing the Army's first airplane and kept it aloft for 1 hour, 12 minutes, and 40 seconds over Fort Myer, Virginia. He was so tired from the experience that the plane crash landed. And his passenger, name unknown, were okay.
Okay, let me, Jim,
who's really into
Jim Wimmer, who is our, we have, you know what, it's not every station that has two pilots working for him. But we do. We have Eric and we have Jim. Now, from what I understand, every landing is just a controlled crash.
No, that's not true at all.
one of the interesting
sayings here when you talk about aviation, you know, people will say, well, we've never left one up there yet.
Yeah, that's true.
and it's interesting, as a pilot, at least in my mind, I always think when I take off, I think, okay, I'm committed to taking off. Once I do this, I'm committed to landing as well.
Yeah, you know, we used to say is, you know, when we were going through one of the jobs I had in the Marine Corps was we were required to have jump and scuba training.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd give you hazardous duty pay, mm-hmm, for one or the other. And later on, I think they you can combine it with, but they paid you more for scuba diving than they did for jumping.
Really?
And I asked that question. I said, and they said, well, we know you're always going to come down.
Yeah.
We're not sure you're always going to come up.
Right. Yeah,
well,
good point.
Today is Flight Endurance Day. You know, they always have to deem a day something.
An hour? How long was the flight?
Okay, it was 1 hour, 12 minutes, and 40 seconds over Fort Myer.
1909.
In other words, three about 30% of the time you have to stay on the tarmac now when you're leaving Chicago.
Right, yeah.
How long would you say is the longest flight you've ever actually piloted?
Well, cross-country flight with stops. It was, 4 or 5 hours, I think. And, that was just during my training.
What a wonderful experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun. Trying to find the airports is always fun. You're looking at the map, and you go, okay, there's the highway over there, there's that mountain over there, and, of course, you have some electronic navigation aids as well. And as a student pilot, I wasn't allowed to use it, but now you have a GPS, so you look at your GPS and go, oh, there it is right there.
See, I would think the taking off would be the easier part, but mm-hmm. the landing would take, your instruments and trying to, like you said, figure out exactly what you're going to do and get in there in some of these tight spots would mm-hmm. be the hardest part.
Oh, sure. In fact, there was a show on History Channel, I think it was, the world's 10 most extreme airports. And if you haven't seen that, maybe it's going to be on again, but it shows some of these airports where these airliners coming in. Over terrain, coming down over hills.
Is San Diego one of these?
San Diego is not one of those. Oh, no. Okay.
How about
no.
Hong Kong?
Hong Kong, yes.
Oh, yeah, my
definitely.
God.
That one, I think, is closed now, but that was on the list.
I lived there for 2 years, and I remember coming in, boom.
Oh, yeah.
Right
and the great shots, too, you got this huge airliner just skimming over the tops of buildings, people on the street, and they're looking up, and there's this huge thing coming in over the top.
Well, before we take a break, I have a question for you, because I remember having a teacher in high school that was flying a private aircraft and was killed, mm-hmm. crashed and killed in Tahoe. Why are there so many planes that go down coming into Lake Tahoe?
Well, something called density altitude is not necessarily coming down into Tahoe, but because of the elevation, performance of airplanes, normally aspirated airplanes, as they say, are just ones with regular engines that don't have turbochargers. They don't have the same power the higher the elevation or the hotter the day. And also because the air molecules are thinner as it gets hot and higher, you don't have as much lift. And so when you're taking off from Tahoe in a small airplane, you may have to circle a few times before you can get over the mountains.
We had two of our pilots in the Marine Corps were flying in a private plane, mm-hmm. taking one up there with their family, with their wives, didn't make it in.
Yeah,
because of that coming in.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's tricky.
Jim, thanks a lot.
No, thank you.
Anything to do with aviation, we have the experts.
Yeah, we have the experts.
We try.
It's so exciting. Well, we're going to take a break here. This is Carl and Linda Bott here. Free Fire Radio. Good Tuesday morning. This is KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Imagine the... Yeah. Yeah. I think if you were... pulling your legs around the side of your mattress and slipping off. Or, hey, but how about you're in the car on the way to work? And yeah, that gets you going there. 605-4567 is the hotline in the studio. Currently 67 degrees, going to be the high today of 98. So we're not going to have one of those complete mercury rising killers today. It's going to be great. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Friday night, last night, Candice Lavolsi just did the most fabulous job. We were out there and place was packed. This Friday night will be Rick Hill doing a solo gig with his wonderful guitar, and he is just such the talent. So if you're going to look at what's going to go on Friday night, go out to Anselmo's, make your reservations early, because it is getting packed up from what I've heard.
Okay, you remember about this the city council down in Bell, California, when the city chief administrative officer, which is kind of like, I don't know, I guess it would be kind of like Kurt Starman, kind of like that, was only making $787,000 a year, and the police chief makes $376,000 a year, the police chief only makes. He makes $457,000 a year, and their assistant city manager makes $376,000 a year. Well, I think that's probably a little bit more than Chief of Police Peter Hansen makes in Reading. But all of these people resigned. The city council accepted the resignation of the top officials. It's so interesting to see how they can make all that money. But, Rizzo would be entitled to a state pension of more than $650,000 a year for life. you know, nobody questions all the way up. Now everybody's upset, but how'd they get there? How'd they get $785,000 a year as a city manager? And there's, you know, I've read about this before a few years ago, and it has to do with who's there. There's a bunch of warehouses and people, you know, it's a lot of money that goes through there, and the family or the people that control it are all somewhat, it's kind of an incestuous type relationship. They're all somehow working together, or they're all, you know, family members or whatever. So, but anyway, Bell Council accepts the resignations. He's got to have to scrape by on $600,000 a year for the rest of his life. Hey, don't you just like it when a law works? And this one is working even before it's even going to start. That's right. Phoenix, Arizona. It looks like the people are leaving. The illegals that are there are leaving. It says in the paper, migrants. Well, migrant is somebody that comes to our country and does it legally, I guess you could say. But in this case, this looks like it's going to push out thousands of the illegals that live in Arizona, which was the idea. The idea was to identify them and not to single people out. If you read the law says is that they were going to have, if somebody was stopped already for some kind of offense, if the police officer or the state patrol or whoever it was thought that these people could be there, could be an illegal immigrant, they could ask the question. It wasn't like, I'm going to pull you over because you look like you could be an illegal immigrant, an illegal alien. You were being pulled, you had already been pulled over for something else, and then they could ask. They figure that over 100,000 unauthorized migrants left Arizona after the state passed an employer sanctions law 3 years ago, requiring companies to verify worker status using a federal computer system. Now, where do you think all these people are going to? Thousands, hundreds of thousands that are leaving Arizona. Where do you think they're going to go to? Some are going to go back to Mexico or back to their original countries. How much do you want to bet that the most of them, though, go to adjoining states or other states in the union? It's going to be interesting to see what happens because this is going to court right now, and from what I've been reading, the judge could just say, hey, you know what? This law is, the state has a right to make this law. The federal government is not protecting them. It is not doing its job. The state is trying to protect itself. If the federal government had done its job, this law would have never come into existence. So let's just see what happens with this. See what happens, see what the judge says. Got to take a quick break here. Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Hi.
DeBott, good morning. It is 7:24 in the morning. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley has been the owner there, and they've been serving local customers since 1985. Doug's a veteran and a former member of the 82nd Airborne. B&T Satellite is putting in your home theater systems. It's putting in sound systems. It does it all. And they are getting rave reviews from the people that he helps. B&T Satellite's on Airport Road, just down from Burrito Bandito. Look for those satellite dishes out in front. Or you could call Doug at 244-1988.
Yeah, I think we need to do a little remembrance, a memorial to, we lost a North State great. His name was Chuck McCabe, and he was a very well-known known songwriter. He's got a book out called Uncle Rhythm's Cosmic Riff and Gig Guide. You might know the lyrics from Weaverville to Shingletown, I sing songs and drank around, Shasta Lake to Anderson, the barbecue in Old Oak Run, Post Office Grill in Old City Hall, the disappearing downtown mall, happy hour to last call, it feels like home to me.
There's a little piece of heaven, makes it almost worth the drive. I've been to cities by the ocean, and the city by the bay, but I'd rather be in Redding.
Yeehaw!
And it's oh so far away.
A YouTube video of McCabe playing the song of the local land carps has generated more than 27,000. It might be, I think it's got to be a bigger number than 27,000. That's probably an old recollection. But, you know, the song is just, and the video is wonderful. It went around, I think I've received it twice, and it's wonderful because as he sings a line, he's in front of, you know, he's down at the river, he's in front of the bridge, he's in Shingletown, he's in all these great places. It's really wonderful. Did I ever send that to you, Carl?
It's been sent to me several times. They have they didn't have the part about the dancing on the bar at Johnny's. It wasn't in there, but maybe it was just because it was done before Johnny's was there. And, you know, one of the things we talk about, not, you know, I mean, we're changing the subject here, you know. First of all, one of the people, one of the gent in Senior Idol sang a song. He said, didn't he sing I'd Rather Be in Reading? I think one of the singers did that.
Last year.
Who knew him?
Last year.
That's right. Last year sang I'd Rather Be in Reading. It was great. It was the crowd loved it. And speaking of loving something, you know, we've been talking about, you know, it seems like every day or every other day it's about marijuana because of all the things that are going on. And it's going to heat up, my friends, before November when it's on the ballot to legalize marijuana. One of the things that's been brought up was the fact that if you're a veteran and you went to the VA and that you were using medical marijuana, they could not prescribe anything because you've tested positive for an illegal drug. Well, it has just been announced that patients treated at Veterans Affairs hospitals and clinics will be able to use medical marijuana in the 14 states where it's legal, according to new federal guidelines. They're saying is that they wanted to clarify current policy that says veterans can be denied pain medication if they use illegal drugs. And veterans groups have complained about this because they said that people that use marijuana medicinally should not be barred from the VA from getting those. But what it does say, too, is that even though that they can use it, it comes right down to what the doctor says. If the doctor looks at it and says, you know, using medical marijuana will have an impact on the other type of drugs we're using, they can then still deny it. But what it's saying here, it's now an official VA policy is in those 14 states, if you can have medical marijuana, that is not an automatic disqualification for receiving other drugs from the VA. That's interesting, and because this question has come up several times, it's also come up in other things. If it's legal to use it in California, yet if you put down that you use marijuana, and you cannot then buy a weapon, and it has nothing to do with who is selling it, who's selling the weapons. I mean, every gun store is the same. Is when you fill that out, that piece of paper that the feds want you to fill out, it says, do you use marijuana or addicted to all these? It lists like four or five different drugs. If you say yes, you don't get the weapon. There's people that are saying, hey, wait a minute. This is a medicine. If I can be, I can have a prescription for Oxycontin and get a weapon, why can't I get it with marijuana? It's, you know, it's a question. But here's the thing is the federal government, again, is giving out conflicting signals as they have on the border problem. Is, oh, we'll take care of this, but we don't. Or here, it's okay to use it. We're not going to come after you, which has caused a proliferation of communes everywhere. But they're not giving out directions on when it can and when it can't be. And let's, you know, what they need to do is have one policy that people can then either enforce or choose to ignore, whatever they want.
We're going to take a break after these messages from Fox News. And
yeah, we've got about 15 seconds here. So when we come back,
who's our
guest? Yeah, you did, but that's okay.
Well, I just thought you took a break. It took a breath. You know how women are. We'll just jump right in
Carl
there.
And Linda
coming up, Institute of Technology. We're going to be interviewing the folks from Institute of Technology. Good morning, Reading. You're listening to KCNR 1460 if you're just tuning in. Bob, what time? It's 7:33 in the morning. It's 66 degrees. We have guests in the studio this morning. We've got Dan Haskins, who's the Director of Education for the Institute of Technology, and Carla Barrett. Now, this is a new facility in town, is it not? And good morning.
Good morning.
that, of course, is Dan. And then of Carla, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so we have a new college. It's like an educational facility. Could you tell us a little bit about yourselves and about the Institute?
Well, I serve as the Director of Education, which means I'm direct all the education programs at the Institute of Technology. We are a post-secondary career vocational school, and so we target our programs toward entry-level career vocational positions in the local community.
All right. Carla.
I'm Carla Barrett, and I am the director of the Career Center. And what we do in the Career Center is we help the students with their placement process. We actually start when they first come on campus. We teach them how to interview, how to write their resumes, help them if they need part-time jobs while they're going to school, anything they need that has anything to do with getting a job.
Okay, Carl, jump in here.
So when we talk about this, what kind of different programs do you have then?
Well, currently we have several medical programs. We have a vocational nursing program, which trains the nurses to get their licensed vocational nursing certificate. We also have a professional medical assisting program, which is the back office of a doctor's office. We have a medical office administration, which is the front office jobs for a medical office or clinic. We also have a medical billing and coding specialist program and a pharmacy technician program. Those are all of our medical. Then we have some business programs. We have a human resource administrator program, and we're soon going to add, hopefully, a computerized accounting program, which gets you into, like, bookkeeping, accounts payable types of jobs, and then an administrative office professional program, which will help them become like an office manager type position. We also have a heating, ventilation, and air conditioning certification program,
wow,
which is becoming very popular.
Yes.
We're up around high 30s in number of students already.
Especially in the North State.
Yes, especially nowadays. And we have a new program called a Criminology and Emergency Response Management program as well, which is a really exciting program.
Dan, when you're talking about the medical programs, you know, it seems like under the new health care plan, there's going to be a lot of changes. And from doctors, from friends of ours, that they're spending a lot of time on the paperwork. Are you all, when you're teaching all your students, these are things that you're looking at and also future updates for all these programs?
One of the things that we do is we have what are called advisory board committees twice a year, and we invite people from the community to come sit on our boards for each program. And what we look at is to obtain advice from them as far as what's going on in the marketplace and what's happening in the legal environment that will affect their professions. And they provide the advice that helps keep us updated.
Okay, well, what kind of school or what type of school is the Institute of Technology?
It's a career vocational school. And so what it does is these programs prepare them for entry-level positions into these different fields. And it's also career vocational in the sense that we also help with providing job placement in the market for them. We help arrange interviews, and then, of course, it's up to them to go get the job. But we help in the process of finding employers and networking with employers while they're in school.
So what is the typical, is it a wide variety or a wide range of people who are coming into the Institute, or folks right out of high school or coming back into the workforce?
It's a broad range. We have students anywhere from 18 years old up into their late 50s. Some are making a career change. For some of them, this is their first career.
So say somebody's out of high school, they just don't really want to go to a university or a JC, and they think, okay, I'm going to really learn to be not say a plumber, but like you said, learn how to work in a medical office, and here's my way that I can get into it quickly.
And they can get into it quickly. Most of our programs are 9 to 10 months long. Our longest program is 15 months long, I believe.
Well, that's fabulous. You just moved into the Mervyn's building. Tell us about that.
Actually, we're moving into the Mervyn's building at the end of August.
Okay.
And we're very excited about that. That's going to triple our size of our campus, which we need space right now. We're growing very fast. We're up to 377 students now already after starting with 75 back in last summer.
Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I really want to hear about your CERM campus. This is Linda Bott on the spot with Linda Bott. We'll be right back. is our hotline. This is Carl and Linda Bott. This particular segment is On the Spot with Linda Bott. And, of course, I've got Dan Haskins, who's a director of education, and Carla Barrett, director of career services. And we're talking about the Institute of Technology. You guys are going to be moving in the Mervyn's building the end of August. Where are you now?
We're currently on Red Cliff Drive, just north of Cypress Avenue.
Well, Dan, could you give us and our listeners a little history of how the Institute of Technology began? And we understand at the break, it is a private facility.
Yes, it is. It's a private school. And it began in 1986 in the Clovis-Fresno area and eventually grew into a second campus in June of 2001 in Modesto. Then in January of 2003, they opened up a Roseville campus. And both the Clovis campus and the Roseville campus have about 1,200 students each. And the Roseville campus, I believe, is up around 600 or 700 students. And then in April of 2009, they decided to open up a campus in Redding. In December of 2009, we bought a campus up in Salem, Oregon. And they're looking at possibly opening something up in Medford as well. And there's currently in the process, they're opening up a campus in Stockton, California in this fall. So the school is growing rapidly. It was purchased by Bright Star Education Group in 2004, and they have a pretty aggressive growth plan right now.
Are you VA approved?
VA approved? We are developing connections with the VA to work with their programs as well. We also have Title IV funding, which means students can get the federal loans and Pell Grants and things like that, just like regular universities.
That's fabulous. Okay, Carla, let's talk about the CERM and what it stands for.
Well, the CERM program is our Criminology Emergency Response Management Program. And this is a program that's very unique to this area. It's different than a lot of our other programs because it offers a lot of different avenues that a person can go career-wise with this degree, and it is an associate degree. We are going to have a meet and greet this coming Thursday at our campus on Hilltop. It's 1675 Hilltop, right next to Chevy's, and anybody's welcome to come. Check out the campus. This CERM campus is a satellite campus to our main campus. Some of the instructors that we have are from the Inspector General's office, from the Department of Justice. We have SWAT team members who are instructors, trauma nurses, and individuals from FEMA, which is the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And just to give you an idea of some of the things that they can go into, it would include law enforcement, corrections. They can become an EMT, a security guard, emergency response, and emergency preparedness careers. So these are just a few, and there's many, many more careers that they can go into. We have really awesome instructors. One other thing I wanted to mention about our programs, and this is back to what Dan mentioned earlier about the medical programs, we choose programs that we know there are going to be jobs in those areas. If you look on the Occupational Information Network, which is a website created for the U.S. Department of Labor to tell you the jobs that are available that are out there, our medical assistant program is expected to grow faster than average, 20% or higher, with 217,000 jobs expected in the next 10 years. For our vocational nurses, that's again expected to grow much faster than average, with 391,000 jobs expected in the next 10 years. So we choose career paths that we know there is a strong job market in those careers.
Okay, we are talking about the Institute of Technology. Again, your Thursday meet and greet. Where is it? What time? And let's get a website and phone number. Let's throw that over the airwaves, too.
Go ahead.
The CERM meeting will be at from 3 to 5 on Thursday, coming Thursday, July 29th, 3 to 5, and it'll be at 1675 Hilltop Drive, right next to Chevy's.
Okay, and
our phone number is 224-1000.
Oh, that's good. That's an easy one. And do you have a website where people can look at the Institute of Technology?
Yeah, you just Google Institute of Technology, and it'll pop it up.
Super. And about, again, the end of August, you're moving into the Mervyn's building, so give us a little, again, a visual of the end of August when you go into the Mervyn's building. What are we going to see?
Well, about 60% of the building is what we're taking over at the current time. and you'll see about a 33,000 square foot facility, complete with multiple classrooms, labs.
Wow.
Full stage labs. Our medical programs are state of the art labs. So, like, if you walk into the medical assisting lab, it's like you're walking into a doctor's office with the table with the roll away paper and all of the medical equipment that you would use. And the vocational nursing labs are set up like home care, long-term care facilities, beds. Our HVAC is going to have a full lab where they can come and work on actual heating and air conditioning units in the laboratory.
That's
setting.
Great.
We're very hands-on. Our program is usually, each class is a combination usually of lecture and hands-on work, about half. And our students go about 4.5 hours a day, Monday through Thursday.
Well, look, I know you're always probably trying to give them real-world experience. And we have an HVAC that we'd love you to come over and, you know, take a look at and, you know, and, you know, run around underneath the house and all that, Dan.
Well, maybe we can make that one of our field trips.
We would like that because I think we have a boiler from the 30s that just still is working. And every time somebody comes to look at it, you know, actually, we have Bob Moon, who has just, they're just in awe of the fact that, you know, there's a lot of stuff that was built in the older days. Is fascinating how well constructed it is. Okay, closing thoughts.
One thought that I wanted to share, and forgive me if I'm not saying this right, but we were talking about real live experience in our CERN program. We will be getting a simulator that allows the students to have the real experience of shooting a gun. So, and this is a very expensive piece of equipment. It's you know, north of the Mississippi or west of the Mississippi, you won't find another one like this. And we're going to be getting this for our campus, I believe, in September.
Well, please invite us to experience that because it would be, you know, we like to go up to Nice Shot mm-hmm. and play and stuff like that. So we'd really like to experience that.
Yeah, the shooting simulator is quite unique in that it sets up actual visual scenarios that they have to
wow.
shoot under. And so it's very realistic. And it's safe. That's the other
right.
part of it that makes it very nice.
No ricochet. Okay, Dan, closing thoughts?
Well, we invite anybody who wants to come out and see our new campus. When we move in August would be great. We will be having an open house through the Chamber of Commerce sometime in September, so we'll be announcing that here eventually.
September 9th.
Thank you, Carla.
Okay. That's great. You guys, we'll have you come on again, especially when you do the ribbon cutting. The end of August, will you come back on? And we encourage our listeners to attend and support you. It sounds like it's really going to be a great addition to the North State.
We look forward to it, and we would look forward to coming back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan and Carla. This is Carla Linda Bott here. This is On the Spot with Linda Bott. We'll be back right after these messages.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. The time is 7:53 in the morning. Our phone line's here, 605-4567. You know, our guest in the next segment is going to be Don Stack, you know, Coachmaster. But he's much more than just has one of the greatest, you know...
commercials.
Well, he has great commercials, but he also has a great place if you ever need to get your car.
Oh.
You. But he's also a man of many facets, and we're going to have him in here after the... after we do the news. But, you know, right now it looks like that the Tehama County Sheriff and the National Rifle Association are joining together. That's right. They're going against this bill about the handgun ammunition. If you remember, it's one of these bills. And do you see what the number is on that, Linda? Which bill that is?
It's 962.
Yeah, H.R. 962. What it says is before you buy handgun ammunition, you've got to have, you know, like thumbprints, you've got to fill out paperwork. You've got to do all these things to be able to buy a box of 22 ammunition. Yet you can go next door then and buy a pound of federally banned substance like marijuana. Anyway, which I don't care if you do that or not. But the thing about it which I don't like is, why should I have to do all this to buy a box of 22 ammunition to go plink with? Well, what the sheriff is saying, this is way too broad a law that they just passed. Again, as somebody said, you know, with all the things that are going on in Sacramento, with the $20 billion worth of debts and deficits that we have, with all the things that are going wrong, what are they passing? They're passing ammo bills and plastic bag bills. And, you know, and we've already talked about that, that if you if you choose to, when they do away with them in 2012, they're giving a, you're going to have to use paper bags, and they're going to charge you on it. Anyway, we'll go on. We could go on for hours about that one. But this one right here is that this law is way too broad. How do you define what pistol ammunition is? Because many of the pistols that are shooting, you can fire it in rifles too. So, of course, but this, as you know, this is just a start. They're saying pistol, then they're going to go to rifle. Now we're having to register all the long guns, all the shotguns, everything that comes out, we're registering them. Because this is a better way. This will keep the crime down. Well, no. What it is, if you heard that, it was a strange noise in the background. Was Bob making rude noises with his mouth, saying he knows it's not going to work. It's not going to work. The criminals don't care. The only people that care about laws are law-abiding citizens. I think we've already talked about that. But let's go to the phones. Coach Bob, you're on KCNR.
Yeah, just a little bit off subject, if you don't mind for a second.
That's okay.
Two fast things. Talking about criminal. I tried this morning to buy some chalk. You know, like blackboard chalk, kids' chalk.
Yeah, the kind of
chalk.
Yeah, the kind that you would do hopscotch on the pavement with.
Yep. You know how hard that is to find?
Really?
Oh man, I've been all over and finally found it in a grocery store of all places.
Because everybody's using white, they're using whiteboards and they're using the.
I guess the grease pencil, or that erasable.
How interesting! Okay.
Yeah, I haven't bought chalk since I had kids at the house a long time ago. And I'm as technologically advanced as anybody, I think. But all of a sudden, I have a need for chalk to mark on some driveways. And holy smoke!
Well, I would think probably an art,
in the
place that sells art.
You're not going to find them at 7 in the morning. That's
no.
the problem.
Why do you need to mark things at 7 in the morning, Coach Bob?
Yeah, well, I got a job to do, and I got to mark some area.
Okay. All right.
Okay,
the last thing is, short-term memory is the first thing to go, and nobody brought this up to you. I'd Rather Be in Reading song was sung only about 2 months ago at the senior idol at the Cascade.
Well, oh, was it too?
Coach
okay.
Bob, I think that that's
Bob.
What
wasn't
we said.
Last year.
Oh, wasn't last year.
I
year.
Am. Well,
last year.
I do have short-term memory, and yes, sometimes it goes.
She meant last one.
In bubbles.
Yeah. All right. Good
Thank
bye.
You for the and correction.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Coach. Okay, one of the things, Coach Bob,
That's
he takes
okay.
us to task. I love this. He takes us to task on
I got a major spanking this morning.
Yeah, by Coach Bob. I'm not hearing me. Am I on there,
yeah.
Bob? Okay,
You're
Bob's
on.
Back. The thing is, Coach Bob will take us to task if somebody calls in and changes the subject. So I expect an email from you, Coach Bob, to tell us to take us to task for letting you change the subject.
Chalk?
Bob.
By the way, listener John called in to mention that you can get sidewalk chalk at Rite Aid, and they are open at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Sidewalk
Tapping the network.
Chalk.
Well, you don't necessarily do it. You don't have to do it. Do you ever see hopscotch squares anymore? Rarely.
Yeah.
I like hopscotch. I mean, it's a lost art. It's like rope skipping, anyway, never mind. So, but you can use chalk, of course, on wood, I would think, if you were trying to, cut wood and mark things off. Anyway, Carl.
Well, it's the, everything that you see that used to be is changing. It's like,
except
chalk.
For,
Who
except,
uses chalk?
Except for pulling out the box of Bisquick. I think Bisquick is still the same Bisquick.
Well, it's probably been changed somewhat. But see, even you buy it, though, if you carry it home, it's got to be in either a reusable bag, which is, by the way, can carry lots of germs. So you have to wash it all the time because, if you've got something in there. Or you can use a, from what I understand, I thought, okay, get away with these bags.
I think it's a good idea.
But see, you use these plastic bags over and over again. I see, because you go to the dog park.
We use those to
line trash cans. Use them for a lot of different things. On the other hand, as somebody pointed out today on one of the other, because you had both sides of this. One saying, we've got so many things going on in Sacramento. You're doing this thing with the plastic bags. It's going to be, it's going to be tough on people. You're going to have 500 people lose their jobs in California. Then you find out the guy writing it is the spokesman for the chemical industry, National Kimmel Gun Street or something like that. And then the other guy is saying, and if this is true, I've got to find out if this is true, can you bring in those plastic bags, say you have a bunch of them, and then they will put the stuff in there so you can reuse them?
Quickly, I want to know. I want to know about the plastic bags and the diapers in the landfill.
Well, they say it takes a million years. I'm not sure about that. Okay, look, our guest after this, after the news, will be Don Steck. Join us after the news. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
KCNR Shasta Reading.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It is 8:06 in the morning. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming on KCNR1460.com. And you can write to Linda, Linda at KCNR1460.com. If you have comments, if you just want to bring up something today with our guest. But
currently 71 degrees. It's going to be a high today of 98. Weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. We're so excited about the guest that we have sitting in the chair this morning. You know his name, but you know his business, Coachmaster. And good morning, Don.
Good morning, Linda. Good morning.
And want to say thank you so much because we were hit and run last year in August, right off of over by Court Street in Shasta. And, you know, we talked about the fact that it wasn't a huge dent, but it was enough that, you know, the door was slightly dented. And just, it was one of those things like when you have a scar and you kind of look past the scar. And we decided we really need to get this fixed. So we brought it to Coachmaster. And we got a chance to go inside and see your facility and really get to meet you and the crew. And we had a wonderful, wonderful experience. And you are so well known for your commercials and the stance, the stand that you take in your commercials. It's a fascinating thing to hear people say, God, I really like that guy's commercials and what he stands for.
Well, that's good to hear. It was a pleasure having you down there, too.
And the car is spectacular. We picked it up Friday, and it's like I'm driving a brand new automobile. It's a 2002 car with 127,000 miles on it, and it is spectacular.
Well, I'm glad you really enjoyed it. And, of course, because Carl is a veteran, we always do a little bit extra for our veterans.
Well, you know, and we appreciate that, and that's something that, as we're talking to like Bob Dunlap and other people that are involved with the veterans, is that they're making a list of places that do a little bit extra for veterans. You know, they take something off or they add something for the veterans on there. And we want to make sure that all these places get publicized. But Don Steck, when we were talking, I thought, if we talk about a business, we do that in a different part of the show. But talking to you realizes that we've got, you've got a lot of things. You've been here in Reading for a long time. And your story is one of somebody who has come up from the ranks and has done things a lot of different things, and now is one of the well-known members of our community. So, Don, where did you start? Where did you start your life?
Well, as far as the automotive industry is concerned, in my teen years, I grew up in Garden Grove. Garden Grove at the time was known as the Hot Rod Center of the United States. So I was a hot rodder, and all the speed shops were there. Everything was there, and I always have been fascinated with cars. I love to take them apart and look at them, and I've had a lot of cars that I put together, boats, motorcycles, built a lot of equipment to repair cars, boats, motorcycles, and that's really where I got my start. When I graduated from high school, I got a job at a place called Leake Engineering, and that was in the L.A. area, and it was a company that built custom parts for cars. I worked there for quite a while, and from there, then I became a police officer. And I was a police officer from 60 to 69. But during the time I was a police officer, on my spare time, I still had three different car dealerships that I worked for doing body work, because to me it wasn't a job, it was a hobby, it was something that I really enjoyed doing.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here and we'll come back, but 9 years as a policeman, You know, that is, you know, I doubt if a lot of people know that, but 9 years as a policeman, probably, how did that help you for your, going on in your life? You know, I know you were doing the body work, but how did that impact on you as being a police officer for 9 years?
Well, being a police officer really has an impact on a person's life. You see another side of humanity that the average person doesn't see. And it's been very useful in my business because I have been asked to consult on cars that there was perhaps fraud done on them, things like that. When I was on the police department, the police department would have me analyze cars that had been repaired or analyze them that had been in a collision because of my body shop experience. So now we're just going back and forth with the two trades.
Okay. We've got to take a quick break here. It's Carl on the Bottom, Free Fire Radio. Don Steck is our guest. Our phone line's here is 605-4567. Join us after these messages.
MD.
Free Fire Radio. Welcome back. Free Fire Radio. Carl on the Bottom. 8:13 in the morning. Phone line's here is 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by the Backlund Brew. Wayman 43 Hilltop Drive. I tell you what, you know, it's hot today. It's going to be 98. You walk into Espresso Joe's, get that icy drink. You get that mango smoothie. And I tell you what, it is smooth. They're walk-in humidor, some of the finest cigars you're going to find in California, and they're reasonable prices. Joe and Shelley are great Americans.
And they
support
always
this community.
Absolutely supported the veterans.
The veterans, yes. You know what, and, going down and supporting them, going in and choosing them to buy, your products from, is helps this community, helps them, helps the veterans. I mean, they do. They open the premises to the veterans. They do a lot of things.
Now, the song that led into this segment is Classical Gas, and you might hear that song in the beginning of a commercial, which is Coachmaster. And if you're just tuning in, we are with the founder of Coachmaster, Don Steck. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
We were talking at the break about how old were you when you first rebuilt a car or whatever you rebuilt?
Well, my fascination became around 15 years of age. At 17, I bought a 53 Ford pickup, and everybody thought I was just nuts because buying a pickup wasn't the thing in those days. Well, I painted it, I flamed it, I louvered it, I lowered it. I really had a neat pickup, but like I said, Garden Grove was the hot rod center of the United States, and my pickup wasn't fast enough. So I didn't know that much about mechanics, and I went out and I bought a Pontiac engine to put in it, which was the fast engine of the day. And I pulled my engine out, sold it, pulled the Pontiac in there, expecting it to bolt in, just like a pair of shoes is a pair of shoes, you put it on. I found out that's not the same. I sat down, and I remember breaking out in a cold sweat. I'd spent all my money putting in this engine. Now my truck was ruined, my engine wouldn't work, and what would I do? So I started thinking, how do engines work, and how do they get installed in a vehicle? So I ultimately wound up building everything for that engine to make it work. And as far as making the transmission made up to the motor, I built a wood jig. Now, when I say that, people right away, their eyes pop up, wood, but it was a jig. Its purpose was so I could take it to a machine shop and have a template made. So they made the template, I put that together, and I did have the fastest truck around after that.
So you had to build all the parts to make the engine, the Pontiac engine, fit into your truck.
I built everything. I went to all the hot rod shops. Nobody could help me out at all. So I learned a lot.
I'm still trying to figure out what louvered is, but
louvers, they're like vents that you put in the hood, and it wasn't enough just to put them in a hood for airflow. I put them in all of my fenders. I put them on my tailgate, and in those days I did a lot of striping too. So I striped my tailgate completely like no one had ever seen a tailgate stripe.
You never raced this truck, right?
Not this particular truck. I did race other vehicles, but
so
not
how,
this one.
How long did it take you to create? Actually, you were creating a new kind of form of engine to go into this truck.
Yeah, it was something different. Pontiacs weren't typically switched, but it took me probably a couple of months of experimenting, putting this together and that together, and it was so darn successful, then I went on to build a boat, and I bought a Pontiac engine, and I built everything for that Pontiac engine to go into that boat, and that was the fastest boat around, so I had a lot of fun. I also painted that one, and I... put scallops on it, which is a type of flame, in multicolors. It was something that you hadn't really seen in those days either.
Now, when was this? What was the approximate time?
That would have been a 59.
59?
Yeah, 59 and 60.
And then you...
Total hot rod time.
Yep.
And then you went into the police department.
Yes, I
but
did.
But you still love doing the body work and everything.
Oh,
obviously.
Yes. Yeah, I kept on doing it as a hobby. And like I said, part-time, I had three car dealers that I worked for, and... they would save certain jobs for me, and I would do those.
So what made you decide to leave the police department? Was there a defining moment when you said, I'm done?
Well, Southern California had started really, really getting crowded, and I'd been coming up to Redding since the 50s. And I really, really liked it up here. And I thought one particular day a speeder came by our street and just burning tires out, and I looked out the window and I saw my kids were playing right there on the curb, and doggone, I ran out there and I spanked them both, where their hands were in a gutter and they weren't supposed to do that. It made me feel so bad. I thought, I've got to get out of here. So I came to Redding and decided to open up a shop here.
So and that was the original name, or was it a what was the name of that shop?
It was I created it. It was just a vacant building that I had rented at the time.
But was it Coachmaster at that time, or did that evolve?
That came later.
No, that was the name I chose when I opened it up.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes, however, it took a lot of thinking to think of something, something different that maybe people might remember. Because most people here had names like Bob's Shop, Bill's Shop, or Shasta.
But you were master of the coaches. Woo!
Hey, we're going to have to take a quick break here. Our guest is Don Steck, and we're talking about how he got up here and how he started this, and we're going to be talking about a number of other subjects near and dear to our heart and to Don's heart here. Carl Indebott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Back to Free Fire Radio with Carl Indebott. It is 8:23 in the morning. Our phone line is 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley has been out there on Airport Road for a while. They've been serving local customers since 1985. They're just down from the Burrito Bandito, and they put in home theater systems. They put in, of course, the Dish TV. They put in the movie, the surround sound, the whole thing. We've had lots of calls from people that said they're really happy they did business with Doug, a veteran of the 82nd Airborne. That's Doug Tooley, B&T Satellite off Airport Road, just down from the Burrito Bandito.
If you're just tuning in, it's 71 degrees, going to be high today of 98. And with us in the station right now, or in the studio, is the founder of Coachmaster, Master of the Coaches, Don Steck. Welcome back. And at the break, we were talking about pinstriping. I just found it fascinating because, you know, it's so important for so many people who love to detail their car. They don't realize the intricate detail that goes into it. And you were saying when you first started here, your wife, your lovely bride, helped you. It was a two-man shop.
Well, that's right. I looked around Redding. I couldn't find any place, so I finally found this warehouse on the south side of Redding, which was so far out of town at the time that I didn't want to get it, but I really didn't have much choice. And what was disheartening is that as I started to develop a little bit of reputation, people would call and say, I'm looking and I can't find you. And I'd say, oh, you've got to go down south a little bit more. And they would say, oh, that's too far. and they wouldn't come down. So it was very disheartening in that respect. But I started out as a one-man shop. My wife did the masking for me.
I love that.
And I couldn't get, really no one would come in when I first opened up. I was a new guy in town, and Reading at that time was very much faithful to its own business people. So I did a discount paint job for $49 for one person. I figured if I could get one out there, something would happen. So I did one, and suddenly I had three. And then suddenly I had my week full. And then I got a call from a body shop that said, you know, you can't paint cars for $49. It's the going price in Reading is $119. And I said, I know, I'm just trying to keep from starving. And I said, once my reputation is built, then I said I intend to raise my prices. Well, I painted a lot of cars, let me tell you, a lot of them. I forgot counting after I'd gotten to the thousands. And eventually, my price went up to $169. Now, understand, this is in the 70s, so that was a very expensive paint job. And that shop owner called me up and said, who do you think you are charging $169? The going price in Reading is $119. And, but anyway, we kept on painting cars, and it's worked out very well. And because we were doing well, I could let my wife finally not be a masker anymore. So, but she had beautiful long fingernails, and she could really put that tape on well.
Well, she still works with you.
She works in the office now.
Yes.
Yes.
Lovely, lovely lady.
Mm-hmm.
The one of the things then is as you grew through the years, and you've moved to where you're at now, and you how many people do you employ there?
It's about 10.
About 10. And when we were there, it was the fact is we got to see everybody, meet everybody. The fact that they listened to our radio station is, I really like that. Some of the people that work there. But one of the things that you have that nobody else in town has is your that rack.
That large frame rack.
That large frame rack.
It's the largest,
it's huge.
It's the largest frame rack in Northern California and perhaps California. I've never heard of a larger one.
Could you explain frame rack?
It's a big bench, basically, that is hydraulic, and you put your vehicle on it, and then the hydraulics lift the vehicle up to a working height. From there, the vehicle is clamped to the bench, and then hydraulic pullers are attached to the vehicle to straighten out any bent metal that there is in there. And this machine is capable of over 100 tons of combined pulling power. And the towers alone are huge. They weigh 750 pounds apiece. So we can actually rip a car in half.
On that frame.
Yeah.
So that's where you could put motorhomes up there and such.
Yeah, I've even done school buses, though we tend to shy away from their bigger rigs like that. But we will do motorhomes. Mm-hmm.
So you've done military vehicles, too, I remember.
Yeah.
One of your spots there.
Yeah, a personnel carrier. Now, that wasn't a frame job, but that was it was a frame job in a way, I got to say. The frame was breaking out because the suspension had been altered on it. And so we repaired the frame, and then I manufactured some pieces to replace the pieces that were missing from the vehicle. So that worked out real well.
Well, you know, the one of the things that we're going to talk about, get into when we get on the other side of the news here is, the spots that Coachmaster does and is almost like a mini morality play in every one of your ads, or every one of your I don't want to call them like commercials, but it's like a little story. Every time you come on, it's like a little story and the right way of doing things and things that you've seen and questions about why things happen. And it's more than just saying come down here. It says, you know, there's something going on. You know, this is what we do, and this is what we have found, and it's unique in the around here, I believe. In fact, almost any place I've been. So we're going to talk about that. We've got about 30 seconds left here. We also want to talk about your laser that you have there, a way of measuring the vehicle. So once you get them on your frame, you can put them. You know, you can just go down to the micro inch. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. That's correct.
Okay. Well, we've got a, you know, this is Carl Underbot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Athens Avenue, man's last stronghold. I know that because it's written on the window. DC Tim and the man in black will give you haircuts. And they are barbers. They are not hairstylists. You're not going to find dryers there or hair gel or photos of different ways you can fix your hair. You get your hair cut, and they shave around your neck and your ears.
It's a man cave.
It's a great place. They've got rattlesnake skins on the wall and heads and great magazines. And I tell you what, they are friendly. The people there, it's a great environment, and the ambiance, of course, is so good. When you go there, you just want to stay. At Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold, right off Athens. Try them out.
Our guest this morning is Don Steck, who is the founder and owner of Coachmaster. And before we went to break, we were talking about how, your commercials, how unique they are. And they have like Carl said, like a mini story or a lesson on morality or doing the right thing. And when did you decide that you wanted to do commercials in this form?
Well, it was in the early 1970s, and I had contacted a radio station that is not in business any longer. And I told them what I wanted to do. Typically, body shop commercials at that time were screeching tires and car crashes, and then whatever else went with a collision. And I told him, I said, I'd like to do something that people would want to listen to. And I intend to be on the radio for a while, and I would want them to look forward to it. Now, whether that's too much of a wish, I don't know. But the person told me she knew exactly what I wanted, and she would write something out for me. And I made it clear, no screeching tires, no car crashes. So a few days later, she came by and was very, very excited. And I was excited, too, because she was so excited. And the commercial started out with screeching tires. And then a big crash. And then a voice out of the heavens saying, don't worry, you have Coachmaster. And I told her, I said, I think it's horrible. She, what? And I said, I told you, that's nothing that I want. And I guess I was too abrupt because she became angry, and she said, well, if you think you can do better, try it. So she walked out. Well, I went home, and sometimes anger is good because I decided...
It's a motivator.
I decided to try to write my own commercial. And it was only a 30-second commercial. It probably took me 4 hours to do it, but I did it, and I recorded it, and I brought it to the state... called her up, actually, and she came over, and she listened to it, and she said, why didn't you tell me you had experience? Well, I thought, whoa, that's pretty good.
Do you remember your first commercial? What was the body of the first commercial?
Well, I don't remember exactly, because some of the earlier ones, I haven't really categorized them. But generally what I started out doing is informing people about cars, because people were getting to the point... growing up being a hot rodder, everybody seemed to know about cars. But as time passed and cars became more technological, people started knowing less and less. So I started out talking about how cars operate and what it takes to repair them. And that proved to work very well for me.
Well, now, you've gotten to the point. I don't know if that's the right word, but you've gotten now where it's if you come here... Don't expect me to pad the bill for your deductible.
Insurance.
For your insurance deductible. And, what happens to people that don't take responsibility? I mean, these are part of the advertisements you make that usually you just don't hear in other people when you're saying, take responsibility for your actions. I mean, what kind of feedback do you get on these?
Actually, I get very good feedback on them, and that determines whether I'm going in the right course or not is the feedback. And as far as what we're talking about now is covering the deductible, this is really a touchy subject with body shops, because body shops typically have not had a very good reputation for honesty. Even though there's a lot of wonderful people in body shops, I've met them all over the state and people in California, there are wonderful people. But as an example, Orange County had 53 fraud arrests made here recently. And typically when a fraud arrest is made on an insurance company, it comes up very often. Well, I was just trying to save his deductible for him. In other words, you're trying to do somebody a good favor. And I've had people, you know, ask me, would you, can you add to the estimate? And I typically tell them, you know, that's insurance fraud. And somebody might say, well, it isn't like it's a person. And I said, you know, I can't jeopardize my business to save you money. And usually they will go away. I don't encourage writing an estimate for those people at all. I'd rather really let them just go away. And but the thing, because it is legal to absorb a deductible, a shop can't really waive it. An insurance company can waive it. But if a shop doesn't want to charge for a deductible, that is legal. But it's the appearance of doing something that is so commonly associated with fraud that I think is wrong. And I think it makes the entire industry look bad. And in the 70s, I had a woman come in, and she said to me, I know you guys are all crooks, but I need an estimate. And, you know, that's really, really insulting to an honest person. And you can't help but take it personally. And I don't like that. I really think that this talking about deductibles because of its association with fraud, even if they are doing it legally, is not good. Matter of fact is, just yesterday I lost a job. The customer called me. And the shop that wrote the estimate is actually quite a bit cheaper on their labor rate. But their estimate was higher than ours. The customer told me this. But they forgave the deductible. So they had the car repaired there. And when these things happen, you know, people talk, and in time it catches up with you. I was on a blog a while ago, and a young man, I could tell by the way he worded everything, he wrote in, I've got a collision, and I don't know, and I can't pay the deductible. Does anybody know how to help me? And the first answer was, oh, yeah, just tell the shop to add it to the estimate, and they'll take care of it. And the second answer was even better. This young girl said, boy, did you come to the right person? My dad owns a body shop, and if you ask him, he'll just add it to the estimate so you don't have to pay it. So this is so common that people hear this kind of stuff, and it's happening that if enough people do it, even though it's not legal, people tend to think that it is.
Or that it's acceptable, and so where you stand is just being honest in that this is not... Somewhere somebody has to pay, and it's not honest.
Well, you pay, as an industry, pay because it tarnishes your whole reputation. And actually, even the insurance companies are very, very aware that there's things going on at body shops. That's why they check estimates so carefully. And if we write the tightest estimates we can write, or the insurance company will not accept them. And when you write an estimate where you can start covering large amounts of money, there's something wrong there, in my opinion. If a shop really needs work and they are truly absorbing that deductible themselves, there is no crime to it. And I can see there are people that are doing that. It's just that I wish there was something else they could think to do that isn't associated with something that is commonly wrong, which is insurance fraud.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break here. And, you know, and a lot of times it's appearance. It's the appearance that makes it wrong in this, like you said. Anyway, Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Don Steck from Coachmaster. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Join us after these messages.
In a medically...
Loving it.
Yeah.
Loving it. It's a great morning.
Yeah, it is. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Don Steck.
Currently 74 degrees.
It's going to be, how hot's it going to be?
98. Weather's brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. By the way, Friday night, Rick Hill will be out there doing his playing his wonderful guitar. And if you're going to make reservations, do it, guys. It's almost sold out. So if you're going to head out there this Friday. We got an email. I love that when listeners engage with us. And this is for you, Dawn. It says, I love your commercials and always think this woman wants to go down to meet the man behind them. Thank you for having him on your show. So, see, you know, your commercials do, I hear it in the grocery store lines. You know, people, you know, and once they know, oh, you're KCNR, and go, I love those Coachmaster commercials.
Yeah, and there's more to it, and that's why,
and
truly that's why we had you on, because after we got to know you, on this, and it wasn't just the work that you did. It was the fact is that I wanted to talk to somebody who said these things, that said, you know, there's more to life than this. It's accepting responsibility, and it's you know, it's growing up and doing the right thing, and that's what you say, do the right thing.
Well, first I want to thank that caller. That was awfully nice. And it did seem, I was told that would be controversial when I first started doing it, but I've got to tell you that I have met some of the most wonderful people. And when you can connect with someone on a mental level, it's just instant friendship. And it's a great, great feeling. It's a great feeling when people come into your business and they feel that they already know you and they're your friend, and that has a lot to do with it.
Well, you know, that does, and that helps when you go with there, and that let's face it, you know, when people listen to advertisements, you know, there's always that little doubt in their mind. You know, I mean, we feel like the people that advertise that we know on our show, you know, we do business with them. We've turned down advertising because we've done business with them, and we don't really, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if this has happened to us and, the, you know, and it, we think, okay, it could just be us, then we'll talk to two or three other people. And then is this somebody that we want to vouch for? I mean, and we haven't gone, of course, to all the businesses, but ones that we talk about personally, we can vouch for. So that is, you know, it's important that the people, you know, when they hear you, just like you said, you know, it comes to a sense like this guy is not just blowing smoke at us. He means these things.
Well, and let's talk about the, you know, I think what it all comes down to, and we're like-minded here, is the integrity of who you are and how you deal in business, and being an American, being proud of our country, standing up for what you believe in and not wavering in that. And I think your commercials, I mean, you know, you can hear that you believe in the Pledge of Allegiance, and you believe in flying the flag, and you believe in telling the truth and being a person of substance. That's in your core of your commercials.
Well, there's nothing greater than being an American. And I'm proud of it, and I love to meet people who feel the same way I do. We click immediately.
Oh, there's thousands of them up here. Oh, there's millions of them, of course, throughout the United States, but there's a lot of people up here. Yeah, we've got to take a break. We ran long in that last segment. When we come back, we'll finish up, and we'll talk to Don in final thoughts here, and talk about some things that are happening. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Back, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and the Bot, good morning. It is 8:55 in the morning. We've got our last 5 minutes here. You know, Don, I play that every day. That's our last song we play.
I love it.
I love it, too. You know, and that's the thing is you don't back down. You know, you take a stand, and you don't back down. There's times you have to change, you know, sometimes. But you don't change on your integrity and your moral fiber. You can maybe change the way you wear your clothes or your hair.
Our guest today has been Don Steck, founder of Coachmaster. We also want to do a shout-out and a thanks to Alan and Laura, who also work at Coachmaster. Thank you for making our experience really special. And, you know, Don, we have appreciated who you are and what your commercials stand for. And that's why we really wanted to have you come in today. You're a voice that, you know, you're taking your business and you're doing these commercials and you're making a statement in your commercials for somebody who's standing for something.
Well, you have been very, very kind. I'll say that. And I do appreciate everything you've said.
Well, you know, last thing, do you have anything? We've got a couple minutes left. Do you have anything you want to, you know, finish up with today?
Oh, gee.
Here, let me drop that one on you there. I know that I know that when we talk about some of the different things you've done, how you came here, and all that, that letting people know you, I think, is important. That's why we have businesses on all the time. We've expanded this with you because you know the time you've been here and the things that we believe you stand for, that many Americans stand for.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and actually, I do have a couple things now that you've given me a second to think. We do really like to try to take care of our veterans and do special services for our veterans. Like we said, we don't waive the deductible because of the implications it has, but people that we do these things for are very, very happy. As far as the economy being tight now, what we're doing right now is we're working with a company to give 6 months of no-charge financing to people who need help. And this looks like it's going to work out pretty good. It should be into effect here pretty soon, too. And we'll have an exclusive on that, as far as I know.
Oh, great. Okay. Hey, let's go to the phones here. Hey, Rob, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Rob Burrows. How you doing, Rob?
Morning, Rob.
Very good. Hey, we just want to say thank you to Don. He's painting our 1952 Korean War ambulance for the museum. And as we get ready to celebrate the 60th anniversary and remember our Korean veterans, we will be having this the Korean ambulance all set up and ready to go for our fundraiser coming September, which is our MASH Bash 2010, and then also for the MASH event coming up at the Cascade Theater coming up in October.
Well, I tell you what, you know, we're in that one all the way up to our eyebrows and supporting this one. And, Don, I didn't know about that. I didn't know you were doing that, but thank you very much for what you're doing.
Oh, it's great. I'm enjoying doing it.
Thank you, Don. We support you and what you're doing in our community.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Rob, we're going to have you on you know, several times before we kick this thing off with MASH.
All right, yeah. Great. Thank
All
you.
Right, Rob.
All
thanks.
Right. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Rob
bye-bye.
Is so involved, too.
Hey, you know, I've got another somebody. You know, there's a, you know, when we talk about blogs and everything on the, for the Redding.com for Record Searchlight, I started a, just a, so far it's just been a one email dialogue with a, his name is Honest Abe. And I just wanted to just tell you that I'm writing back to you. I just haven't gotten to it yet. And I see, you know, it's one of those things that we talk about what's going on in our city and where we can agree to disagree. And that's the best thing about this place is that you can agree to disagree without getting nasty. It's not one of those things where you try and destroy the other person. You know, I see where he's coming from, and I believe he sees where I'm coming from. But it's one of those things that, you know,
misinterpretations.
Yeah, misinterpretations of some things that were said. So we want to make sure all this is clear. But I just wanted to make a little shout out there to Abe that I'll be answering that. Our guest has been Don Steck, and this is somebody that member of our community since 1969, has grown in the community, has become well-known in the community, and we just thanks a lot for being here today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
It's great. You know, later on this week, we're going to have Paul Hooser from the Redding Electric.
Tomorrow we have the AmVets on.
Yes, and we've got a couple of other things that are coming in that were going to be big surprises for this week. But we want to talk about, you know, for Redding Electric Utility, we want to talk about things that are going on in our community. And this is a good time for people to ask questions, either via the phone or via email. So Stay tuned for right after us is going to be
Dennis Miller.
Yeah, you know, he takes a different look at things in life, as we all should. And we're glad to be back today.
Go out and make it a great day.
That's right. Carl and about Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta, Redding.